What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Well, we're going to try to ask some more great questions right now because got a Hall of Famer on the line here on Willard and Dibs. We love it when he comes on, and he is standing by. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app and wherever you find your favorite podcast, because when you get there, you get to check out special content like what we're about to have, which is right here on the River Islands guest line, the great Kurt Warner on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Kurt, thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man, and we're still working through something that happened all the way last Friday with the announcement of Brock Purdy and his brand new deal. I got all kinds of questions, but I wonder just – what was your initial reaction to what he got and how that all went down?
I mean, I can't say I had a huge reaction. I figured this was going to get done. I figured it would be in that range somewhere, whether it was a little lower, a little higher, whatever. You know, I mean, he's performed so well over the past few years. He's their guy, and that's the market. So, to me, it was really just a matter of time more than anything else, knowing and hearing everything coming out of theirs. You know, Brock wanted to be there. San Francisco wanted him there. Just a matter of time before this got done.
How does it change you as a player when you go from also ran and the guy who's really chasing it to when you get established and you get that first taste of success? How do you go about continuing to stay humble and do the work you need to do to be great?
Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, what motivated you to get there are the same things that motivate you once you get there. And so, you know, I was never chasing money when I was, you know, pursuing this to go, okay, now I just need to get that big payday. No, I mean, I was motivated to be great. I was motivated to show what I was capable of and to push myself every day to see how good I could be. And the greatest motivator was to want to be the, you know, the best to play the game. And so the big payday was nice. Obviously, when you make it, quote unquote, you win an MVP or you win a Super Bowl, it's all great. But it's the consistency of excellence that that you strive for. And that, to me, is what always motivated me. When I won an MVP, I wanted to win another one. When I wanted a Super Bowl, I wanted to win another one. You know, when you get a big contract because you've earned it, you want to earn another one. I mean, that's what it's all about, is the motivation to be the best version of yourself. And so it didn't stop, you know, whenever you had different milestones that you hit along the way.
Kurt, I certainly don't want anybody going, wow, what a great guy, because he only took $53 million a year. But I think fans look at these quarterback deals and they sort of expect this to go in order. You know, like the next one's going to get a little more and the next one's going to get a little more. We've now seen two QBs in a row maybe take a little bit less than a player that seemingly they're better than, right? Josh Allen takes a little bit less than Dak Prescott. Here's Brock Purdy taking a little bit less than Trevor Lawrence and Tua. What do you think that says about Brock and maybe the leadership and the approach he took to this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know the motivation behind all of that. I think when you get to this point, like you're talking, I mean, we're talking $50 million a year. I think the bottom line is, what's a couple extra million? Again, if I'm going to make $250 million, that's enough. And now let's spend it on everybody else and let's go win championships and let's not haggle over a couple more million or be in the highest paid. And again, I know that's important to some people. I think other people are like, get me in the market, get me in, the area that I believe I deserve to be in. And then from there, let's go play ball. I think back to when I signed that big contract with St. Louis, and we ended up having like four guys, Isaac, Marshall, myself, and Big O. And we all kind of signed the same deal. Mine might have been a little bit more than theirs being the quarterback, but we were all in the same range where it was just like, give us what the going rate is, what the market is, and great, let's sign it and let's go and let's go be great. And so I think a lot of guys kind of take that approach. There's always going to be some that, hey, I've earned it. I want to be the highest paid, player. I want to set the market, which is fine. But I just think that's the approach with a lot of guys is, hey, as long as we get in this area, let's sign this thing. Let's move forward. Let's get it behind us and let's go play ball.
And he's got it behind him now, and he gets to go to phase three of the OTAs, and he's got Fred Warner out there, who is the highest paid at his position, and Kittle got new money, and McCaffrey's coming back. When you look at Brock Purdy and what he has around him coming into this year, do they have enough in this season with Brock Purdy now, taking on a big salary going forward?
Well, I mean, I guess we're going to see. They took a bit of a dip last year and Christian being hurt. So I think him staying healthy and no Debo now, who's such an integral part of what they do and kind of the change up there. And Ayuk coming back from the injury. I don't really know the answer to that. And I think the common debate, through this offseason before Brock's, signing the contract was, where does he slate in? And if he's got to carry more of the load, does he have the ability to do that? And I think we're going to get to see that. They paid him big dollar money, and there's going to be some changes there where you feel like he's going to probably have to do a little bit more. And I don't want to say play better because he played really, really well, but be more of a central piece to what they're doing and maybe make more plays throwing the football or have to throw the football a little bit more. And so we're going to see, because I'm not really sure. I mean, getting a little bit older and taking a little dip last year and losing some pieces, I don't know. I'm going to have to see, once the season starts, where they're at and, who they have filling in for some of those guys that they lost. I think there's a lot of questions with this 49er team, but it's nice to have your quarterback and have some key pieces like, Fred and George and Christian and guys to build around. They still got a lot of talent there. But it's more than just the superstars that have to show up and play at a high level if you're going to, get back to the top and be back in Super Bowls.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Kurt Warner joining us here on Willard and Dibs. When you say and sort of reference him, quote, taking a little dip last year, you've been very, very supportive of Brock Purdy. You've been impressed by Brock Purdy. Did your opinion of him change a little bit last year?
No, my opinion didn't change. I mean, I think I know who he is, but I don't think he played his best football. I think of all the football he's played in the NFL, I thought last year, was his worst football. And again, I don't want to say worst because I didn't think he played awful, but I didn't think he played his best. I didn't think he saw the field as well. I didn't think he made the consistency of throws down the field that he had earlier in his career. And again, a lot of factors, a lot of different moving parts, a lot of guys in and out of the lineup, a lot of things can affect that. But yeah, I didn't think he played his best football last year. That doesn't mean I don't think he's a good football player or he's not the guy that I saw earlier in his career, I think I know what he is. And I love the way that he plays the game. And I think he does things that people don't appreciate and don't understand about the quarterback position that not everybody can do just because they may jump higher and run faster and throw farther than him. So I think I appreciate who he is as a player, but I just didn't think he played his best football last year.
What are those things that he does do that other quarterbacks don't, and how does that really fit so well into the Shanahan system?
Well, you know, a lot of the Shanahan system is designed around, obviously, their play action and their run game and making everything look the same. But I don't think, you know, their pass game is always, you know, great for a quarterback from the standpoint that we're not always putting a defender in conflict with, you know, with two wide receivers. You know, sometimes they're trying to put a defender in conflict with the run action and hope that he moves. But there's only one receiver that's kind of available in a certain area. And so the ability to anticipate, the ability to layer throws up and over the top of linebackers and beat safeties, to see and understand the spacing of the game is different than some other systems. And I think at times can be a lot harder for a quarterback to see and make those throws consistently. You see Tua down in Miami, they do a lot of that as well, where it's kind of like, we're going to let our action create an opening for this receiver, and you've got to throw it in that, you got to hit him in that opening, as opposed to going, we're going to have a guy, you know, running high and a guy running low, and you read that defender, and if he goes high, throw it low, and if he goes low, throw it high. And so you're asking and putting a little more pressure on your quarterback to have better timing and accuracy and to be able to see those bodies with that action and be accurate with the football. And that's not, to me, everybody's strengths. Tua's really good at it. Brock's really good at it. But, you know, lends itself sometimes to tough situations for those guys to be in. So the guys that can make up for, you know, I guess the lack of structure from that standpoint, make up for it with that anticipation and accuracy, that's a special trait. That's a unique trait that not everybody has. And so that's one of the things that that he does that I think is really special.
Okay, so with that analysis of who he is, obviously you want all of these things, but for Brock Purdy, what do you think is the most important thing to support him to be great? A great coach, a great receiving core, or a great offensive line?
I mean, it's a good question. That's a good question. You know, I would say just because he does see and get the ball out in a timely fashion, I guess I would put an offensive line down, you know, push that down a little bit lower, because I don't see Brock as a guy that's holding the football a lot and so needs extra protection or needs extra time to see it. So I would, you know, again, I think, you know, based off what I've seen in the Shanahan system, it works really well with him there. Like, and again, a lot of people around the league might say, hey, you know, Buffalo might not have paid, you know, Brock Purdy this, or Baltimore may not have paid Brock Purdy this. Well, what really matters is, do you fit the system that you're in? And are you that valuable for the system? And I think Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy work really, really well together. The scheme that Kyle runs, when they're running the football really well, it is really, really good, and it creates open players, and it creates big plays down the field. And then Brock having the ability to make those plays, but also when it doesn't always open guys up, you know, dramatically and get those big plays, his ability to do the things that I'm talking about help make that offense better. So I think they're a good fit together. I mean, every quarterback wants playmakers, of course, on the outside. But I think that coach-quarterback dynamic with Shanahan and Purdy is a really good one.
And is the system one that is really not designed for him to drop back 35 and 40 times and for them to really, you know, cut it loose, especially if they fall behind late in games?
Yeah, I don't think it is. You know, I'm not a huge fan of, you know, what we call pure progression pass game, and you know, there's a lot of that in San Francisco's offense and what they do. But I look at their offense and say, their drop-back pass game is more of a complementary piece to what they want to do. They are built around, you know, run, play action, and doing everything that way. That's how they want to play. I mean, I don't think that's any secret. That's where it starts. And so, to me, you have to major in something no matter what you do. You grade a show on turf, we're going to major in drop back and throw the football. The San Francisco 49ers, you're going to major in running the football, changing formations, play actioning to create things off of your run game. That's what you major in. And so anytime you major in something, what you minor in usually is not as good or dynamic as what you major in. And that's how I look at the 49ers. They don't want to be a team that has to drop back and throw it 35 or 40 times in the drop back game. Their drop back pass game is not, to me, as extensive as maybe some guys in the league that, you know, depend on it more than San Francisco depends on it. So with all that being said, yeah, that's not who they want to be. That's not who they want Brock Purdy to be. Those are not the games they want to play in, right? They haven't had great success being behind late in games and coming back because, again, not what they major in, to me, not what they're great at. They're great at the other things. It's why they're usually ahead. It's why they're usually winning games, and it's why they're usually not having to throw the ball 40 times a game to win.
Kurt Warner, the great Hall of Famer with us here, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. I think, Kurt, a lot of 49er fans agree with you that there are a lot of questions. At the same time, they're licking their chops because Eagles, Commanders, Cowboys, Lions, Vikings, Packers, and then even if you go AFC, Chiefs, Chargers, Ravens, Bills, you get the idea, none of them are on the 49ers schedule this year. They get that fourth place schedule. Is that enough in and of itself to be optimistic that they're a playoff team this year?
Well, I mean, I think the pieces that they have, and knowing the track record of Kyle Shanahan and knowing the track record of the stars in that locker room, I think that's enough to give you optimism that last year was an anomaly and they're going to be a good football team this year and be competitive. I'm one of those, and you guys know, you follow the league. This league changes every year. You know, every year when we come in the first show that we do for game day morning every year, we have to kick people out of the playoffs because on average, 4, 5, 6 teams that were in the playoffs last year aren't in the playoffs this year. And so the league changes very, very fast. So what looks like it's a great favorable schedule based on what teams did last year doesn't necessarily have to have a whole lot of bearing on what happens this year. And so optimism should be there without a doubt because I think they've got some really good pieces and we know what San Francisco has been for a long time. We're all going to do that as players, right, and analysts, and if it's our favorite team, you know, we're going to chalk it up and, hey, we're going to win 13 games with this schedule, but we're basing it solely on what we saw last year. You know, we need to see what these teams are and what they aren't and what San Francisco is and what they aren't because, again, everybody on San Francisco's schedule is probably looking at San Francisco going, hey, there's a win for us because they weren't very good last year. You know, so everything can change very, very quickly in the NFL.
So Brock is signed and Fred Warner signed and Kittle's already been signed. Looks like everything's buttoned up here in mid-May. How important is that to a team's success to be able to go into the final phase of OTAs with no real contract stuff hanging out there?
I think it's always a good thing, right? Where you can focus on the main thing is the main thing. We can focus on football. We don't have to worry about, you know, being the Dallas Cowboys and, you know, signing Dak Prescott to an extension, you know, the night before their opening game or even the way that the Brandon Ayuk thing played out. Like, you know, it all takes away from what your focus is when you wonder, okay, is that guy going to be in camp? Are we going to get this done? Why are we still talking about this? And I want my main guy on the out, like all of that stuff. So when you can get that stuff all cleared up and go, okay, we know what we are. We know who we've got. These guys are going to be here from now, you know, through the season. Now we can just simply get focused on, hey, putting in our game plan, getting to be the best that we can be, and then going out and competing.
Hey, Kurt, real quick, the tush push, should it go away?
I mean, I don't really have a preference. Like, whatever. Okay. I mean, it's a football play. You know, whatever it is. I mean, we always say that. You know, the league changes and different things show up, and it's like, oh, now we got the RPO. Well, okay, we're not taking it out. figure out how to stop it. You know, it's the same with all of this other stuff. You got to figure out how to stop it. You know, I understand why people say what they say about the tush push. I'm just not passionate one way or another. You know, you're getting fourth and short, and we've all done different things that are a little bit, you know, less football related to try to pick up first downs. You know, it is what it is.
The other one that's up is the idea of reseeding after the wild card round. In other words,
no,
you're not into that, Kurt?
No. Like, I mean, again, one of the biggest things every year, you know, one of the goals for every team is win the division. Mm-hmm. Win the division, win the division, win the division. And, you know, and just because you might have a really good division that beats each other up and so they, you know, they all get more losses, they shouldn't be penalized. And the same way. And I mean, I was on some teams that played in a bad division and we won our division. And it was what it was. I don't like it. You know, if you're going to have divisions, if you're not going to have divisions, fine. Just put all 16 teams in a big hat and let them all, you know, play who they play every year and then see them that way. But if you're going to have divisions, to me, the division winner, it should mean something. If you're going to play certain teams twice a year, that should mean something. Otherwise, you should change the whole thing. So I'm not for that. You know, every year there's going to be different ways of looking at it. Man, this is a really tough division. I mean, we had a 14-win, wild card team last year. Like, yeah, but that's what happens because the other team in the division was great. And so it can work out both ways. Bad division, good division, it can play out both ways. But I think that's always a cool incentive and it means something and it creates rivalries. And I think it should stay.
Kurt, you're the best, man. Thank you so much.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Okay, Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
I agree with him, by the way, there at the end. By the way, we found his passion, and it's not the tush push.
No.
But it was divisions in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, here's why I agree with him. I understand the frustration when, you know, the Bucks go 8-9 and
win
a division.
We've seen it,
We've seen it.
The Seahawks did it.
But let's play this out in a hypothetical sense. Let's say the 49ers have a great year, but one of the other teams in the division is also great. Let's say the Seahawks and Sam Darnold catch fire. They go 13-4, right? And the Niners go 12-5. And the Niners are a wild card team. But out there in the NFC East, your division winner is 10-7. But you're the Commanders, and you had to play the Eagles twice, and you had to play the Cowboys twice. Meantime, the Niners are bebopping at 12-5, having played the Jags seemingly 8 times. Like, their schedule is so incredibly weak. Do the Niners now get the home game in the playoffs against a division winner? Because that division winner is in a really hard division, and you just worked your way through a fourth-place schedule to a wild card? I don't want that. I agree with Kurt on that.
Well, it's just the second round would be where the home field would flip, and I'm definitely here for it. And he made the case for me. The Vikings go 14-3 last year, and they're the wild card. And yet, you know, when you go into that second playoff game, if you happen to go up against, and last year's not a great example because Tampa was 10-7, and so were the Rams. But you know, you've had years where 8-9 division winners get a home game, or actually 7-9 back when it happened in a 16-game schedule.
Totally, beast mode.
Right. That to me is, that's when they had the beast quake. They went 7-9, beast quake, home playoff game, and you win. That to me, and Kurt makes a good point. And
I'm with him.
I was looking at the odds. Jimmy Shapiro put out odds on these things passing, and that one has an implied odds of 11% chance of passing. The tush push one is going to be close.
Yeah, the Packers.
But you need
24
votes to pass it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. That's all tomorrow. We can chat that out. Earlier today, we were going to get into a few Giants things, and then that Kuminga conversation popped up. We will coming up next. We also have some Purdy calls that we want to get to. Christian, you will lead us off. Stay right there. We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls the rest of the way up to 6 o'clock here on Willard and Dibs.
I mean, it's a good question. That's a good question.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
That's a great question. That's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
I'm taking that one with me.
That might be a first.
I'm taking it with me.
That could be the first ever double. That's a great question.
Double bang. What was only a good question.
Doesn't matter. But it counts the same.
It stumped him because it got him twice. He pondered. I'm going to take that one with me.
It's a good question. That's a good question.
Oh, and the sigh, too. I wish you wouldn't ask me that. Man, last time I come on with these hard questioners.
That is too.
Too tough.
Hard.
I think it was too good a question. You gave us a lot of dead air in that answer.
Yeah.
And the question was, which is the most important to his success, the O-line, the skill guys, or the coach,
Correct. Basically? Correct, yeah. I mean, I said receiving core, but yeah.
Fine. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. And he essentially wove his way to saying Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan is more important than Brandon Ayuk or Trent Williams.
Well, he took out the offensive line first.
Right,
because,
which was kind of a surprise, I thought.
Well, and I liked his answer, though, because if he gets the ball out quick, and he does, then you don't need to protect for a long time because you don't do a lot of vertical routes in this offense. So Brock Purdy has the ability to decipher the defense very quickly. So if the pocket does break down, he's really good at making those snap judgments and making the right throw. And then it gets interesting because I would lean more toward the skill guys, and last year, he didn't have McCaffrey much. Ayuk got hurt, and he had surgery November 15th. I'll have more on that momentarily.
Exciting.
And, you know, your skill guys weren't nearly as good. You had the coach, and your skill guys were worse, and Brock Purdy was also worse.
No doubt. I mean, I don't think there's any answer that's like a catch-all. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, if Kyle Shanahan's there, then everything's wonderful. Although I will point out, as much as people look at as last year as a down year, and I'm not saying it wasn't, but if that's the down year, well, then that's why he's making $53 million a year. The reason Brock Purdy was bad last year was based on what had happened before,
right,
where he was next level good. So last year, in a vacuum by itself, was not horrible quarterback play by any stretch, but it wasn't up to the marker that he had set for himself the previous 2 years. That's all. And yes, as Kurt said, there's a lot going on around him from all facets of the game, and things fell apart. But with about 3 or 4 weeks to go, there was still a light at the end of the tunnel. And then obviously once they lost, then actually, quite frankly, it was a good thing that they just kept losing. It's a good thing. Get that fourth place schedule.
Sure. Yeah, and get that higher draft pick. 2023, Brock Purdy had the 15th highest quarterback rating in the history of the NFL for one season. 15th. So if that year was a, I don't know if it was a 10, you didn't win the Super Bowl. It was probably a 9.7. Last year was probably a 7 for Brock Purdy. So it's not like
that
he
feels
went
about
from,
right. He wasn't
like he went
bad.
From a 7 to a 3. He went from a year where he was unbelievably spectacular.
MVP candidate on Christmas. Don't forget that.
Until Christmas, yeah. Right. But you look at the years of the quarterbacks that had a higher rating, and I know rating is a little bit of a flawed stat, but it's indicative of a good year, to say the least. And he was 15th all-time in 2023. Really, really good year.
Yeah.
And then last year, it was a good year.
It was fine.
It was better than fine.
Yeah, yes, better than fine.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
No.
He was good.
Yeah.
Good with a slight uptick in the voice. I mean, because ultimately, a quarterback's only going to be as good as your team's record in many ways.
Well, in the end, yes. But I mean, like on the list of problems that you would point out when you watched Niner football last year, Brock Purdy was not on my top 3 or 4.
No.
At all.
No, you had special teams.
Oh, God.
And I mean, you had.
They were epically bad.
And you couldn't stop the run.
Yeah, the defense was not good either.
And you were not great in run blocking, so you couldn't run it. And, you know, you were not very good in the red zone, especially when you needed to run it in the red zone.
They were not very good.
Right.
Period. They went 6-11. But, yeah, like, you're right. I mean, when you point to what went wrong, you're going to get to a number of things before you get to Brock Purdy.
For sure.
Yeah.
And the injuries is one of them. And I'll just share this because I was looking at some of the data. When you have an ACL and an MCL surgery, which Brandon Ayuk did on November 15th,
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Average days needed to return to play is 305. So if he has an average rehab, that means he's ready for week three. The thing about this, though, is there's a plus or minus that goes into it, a range in 50 injuries they looked at. It's a 60-day range.
Okay.
So if he's 60 days worse than the average, he's not ready until week 11.
Right.
If he's 60 days better, he's going to be there at camp.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's kind of the range.
Well, whatever it's worth, and I'd argue it's not much, but we have heard a couple whispers that like rehab is going really well. A couple.
Yep.
I don't think that's worth much, but I want to throw it into the conversation for whatever it is worth. So,
and the range doesn't have to be like the extreme good or the extreme bad. Obviously, it could fall in between, but just in terms of parameters, if the rehab is going well, his early return date, July 19th, is only 2 months away.
Right.
So if it's going really well, you'll hear in the next month or so, like, he's able to do this. He's up and jogging, and he's doing that. So if we get to July, that'll be really indicative of where he is in his rehab.
There's also the return to play, and then there's the return to form.
Oh, sure.
And I think those are two, factually, those are two totally different things.
Unless you're Adrian
Peterson. Yeah, exactly.
Who returned to play from an ACL in like 6 weeks or something crazy.
And was great.
Right.
What the hell's the matter with this guy?
He's like baby knees is what they were saying.
Christian in Fairfield has been super patient on a Purdy take. So let's go to Christian. Hi, Christian. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I wanted to talk about what you asked, Willard, how you were talking about what's the Purdy stigma with the system thing.
Yeah.
how you kind of answered it, you guys, while I was on hold with all the callers and everything. But before that, I was at the Giants game last night, and they lost that base running. Number 17 should have scored after on that double from Lee, and then the other guy got thrown out at third with the line drive to shortstop. So I don't know what that caller was talking about, and I didn't make it past Little League, and I know you're supposed to do that.
Well, hey, Christian, y'all right if I just, like, super firmly disagree with both of your takes? I'm pretty sure the person you're talking about.
Can you explain?
Yeah, absolutely. You're talking about Elliot Ramos, and like, that double from Jung-Hoo Lee, it was not deep enough down the line to score someone from first base. Like, it just, like, he would have gotten thrown out. And then what you're talking about is in late innings, you have a situation where there's runners at second and third with one out. I believe Tyler Fitzgerald is the one at the plate. Am I right, Christian? Is that who had the line drive?
That's just
bang, bang. Like, I don't think human beings can work that way. Like, you lead off of the base when the pitch happens. Someone whacks a line drive right at the third baseman or at the shortstop. You're going to be, like, he dives back, and you know, by a hand, he's late. Like, that's the way base running in the big leagues is. If somebody hits a line drive right at someone, you're probably going to get doubled off if it's real quick. I hear what you're saying is a frustrating moment. It was probably the moment where that game was lost. But I don't think that that's fair. I don't think those were base running mistakes. I just think they were unfortunate. That's all.
Can I say so?
Of course.
Only thing about the running home is if he does get thrown out at home, then Matt Chapman leads off instead of two out a man on second and third. So that was my take on that.
Yeah, and I would much rather – Christian, thanks so much. I'd much rather have Matt Chapman batting with
two people
runners,
up there, yeah.
Runners at second and third.
Yep.
You're a base hit away from taking the lead and sending your closer out onto the mound. City Connects tonight.
Ooh, get excited.
Hey!
Yeah. What's the record this year in the Connects?
I think 1-something.
Yeah.
One and two.
1-2.
Broke it last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
1-2.
And fine.
We're just starting here.
It's, you know, it's interesting that a guy who doesn't know anyone's number, you knew Elliot Ramos's number, right, when he said number 17.
No, I just knew Elliot. I watched the game. I knew it was Elliot Ramos. I have no idea that he wears number 17.
No, you do now.
I do now.
Yep, you're locked in.
I'm like, that was Elliot Ramos that you're talking about.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, I remember I said it to Jude. You know, I said it right when because I was kind of, you know, I have one of those damn kitchens where you can't see the TV.
You got to get one of those small little TVs in there.
Yeah, but that's just kind of, I don't know.
Knock down a wall or something.
Yeah, like whatever. I just cook.
I cook and peek.
It's a bob and weave. And so, and plus, I got kids of a broadcaster in the other room, and they know what's up. I'm like, tell me what the hell's going on. And so if I got to stir the sauce, and then I see that ball come flying, I think it was Jung-Hoo Lee, right? Jung-Hoo Lee knocks that thing down the right field line. And I said to him, I said, Jude, is he going to score for first? He said, no, that's not deep enough, Dad. And you got to pull up at third base. He was right. You're not going to get, don't make that out at home.
No. Well, ultimately, it's not about the base running for me. It's about an offense that has been, you know, kind of quiet of late. And I was running some of the numbers in the deep dive. And one thing about this year's Giants team and their run differential, they've had, I think, 5 games where they've won by 8 or more runs. Super blowouts.
Ooh.
So in those games, it's going to inflate your run differential. Well, I think they've only been victimized once, maybe twice, by those games.
They've also had a major league lead in walk-offs, which means they got a crap ton of one-run wins, too.
Yeah, I'll look at exactly how many they have.
Isn't that true, Steven? Don't they lead the majors in walk-offs, right?
They got seven.
Yeah. So I hear your point, but then counterpoint is they're winning a lot of close games too.
Yeah, I'll look at the numbers on their one-run games, but just as far as scoring runs goes, when they score 5 runs, they're 18-2 this year, and when they don't, they are, what does that make them, 10-18?
Well, they're 28.
Is there 28-20?
Yeah.
So 5 runs is kind of the magic number, and it is for most teams, but this team's almost averaging 5 runs a game, 4.65, and that's the most out of the 4 years that I looked at. You were asking about the 3 World Series years, and in those years, they were 12th, 12th, and 17th in runs per game. This year's team is 10th.
Yep.
So they're scoring slightly more per game compared to the other teams in the league.
They're doing fine. I know people think that you want arena baseball. Let me tell you, you don't. It doesn't win. Like, I understand. It'd be wonderful to have the most amazing pitching staff ever and score runs in bunches. That's great. I'm not saying that would be a bad thing. But the bottom line is, what's going to win in the end is pitching and defense, especially in your park. It's kind of almost a Brock Purdy comp when people go, oh, this guy fits Kyle Shanahan's system. Well, the Giants need to fit their ballpark. And that's, I do think, where you end up focusing on the bullpen. That, if you go back to when they won 3 times in 5 years, you Giants fans still know the names of all the relievers, and you know what inning they came in. You know, Jeremy Affeldt, when did he come in? You're like, ooh, that's the seventh inning, right? And Sergio Romo, well, for a while he was the eighth, and then he turned into the ninth. And Javi Lopez, oh, that's who came in when there was a lefty at the plate that we needed to get out. You knew exactly who these dudes were, and you won World Series. And now, who's running the Giants? Well, the guy who caught all of those pitchers is running the show. And it is clear as day to me that he's building this team exactly in that mode. And I think you even have to take that into account when you're watching the left side of the infield. And when people like Steiny come in here and just want to take shots at Willie Adames.
Yep.
Those two dudes on the left side of that infield anchor this ball club, period. I don't care exactly. Of course I want the OPS to go up. But neither one of them is ever going to put up a sparkling average. That's not who they are. But they are incredible defensive players. They are incredible leaders. They are the anchor of this entire roster. And they're irreplaceable with what the Giants have in the farm system right now. They've got nothing.
They've got nothing down there.
In order to, not at those positions, right, at least. So, like, there is no Adames or Chapman slander coming this way. Yes, you want it to come around. And it is a little bit. And you want it to come further. But those two dudes, along with Jung Hoo in center field, that's the anchor of the position players for the San Francisco
and
Giants.
And the catcher who's hitting the .180, well, he's a defensive anchor, to your point.
Yeah, that could get a little better. And yes, they probably need to address first base. No question. But I do think that they are scoring enough runs. Not as many as you'd like, but it's enough. It's enough to win.
It's enough to win, provided certain things stay in place. And right now, they are tied for first in bullpen ERA. They're tied with Houston. And as far as bullpen usage, they are 22nd in number of innings pitched by the bullpen. So what that tells me is your starters are going deeper than a lot of other teams. And when you go to the pen, you are tied for first in ERA. Both teams have a 2.64 ERA out of the bullpen. Yep. So I was looking at the championship years and wondering if these trends hold up for when they won. 2010, they were number one in ERA, number two in bullpen ERA.
Do you want the deep dive dip sound?
I mean, you can always play it. It's a deep dive.
I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Lucas probably doesn't know where the button is.
You don't even know where it is.
He's in for Grandy.
Call Grandy and find out where it is. He's doing a deep dive.
Yeah.
Listen to him.
By the time we get there,
he's underwater.
Oh, look at you. Yeah, put on your snorkels,
but then
everybody.
Bring it down a little bit, because sometimes it gets loud and I can't hear Dib.
He likes it hot. He likes it loud.
Anyway, go ahead.
2010, number one in overall ERA, number two in bullpen ERA, number four in defense.
Yep.
Pitching and defense.
There you go.
2014, and I'm doing this out of order for a reason, they were 11th in ERA, but 5th in bullpen ERA.
Yep.
15th in defense, and by defense, I just did errors, like total errors, which is not the most highbrow metric. 2012, 7th in ERA, 15th in bullpen ERA.
Interesting.
27th in defense. They committed 115 errors.
This is in 12?
This is in 12.
Okay.
Additionally, that year they had 103 home runs at the plate, dead last in baseball.
Okay.
Their OPS was higher than it is this year, and their overall runs per game, comparable, 4.5 per game.
Yeah.
But the weird thing about that team is their OPS was 14th. And I looked at it, like, how could that be if you don't hit home runs? They led the league in triples.
Gee, I wonder why.
In 2012. Triples out.
I wonder, exactly.
Triples out.
And a gap that's literally nicknamed after triples.
Right, but the whole year, and just looking at this year, it compares most favorably to 2014 if you look at all the numbers in percent of bullpen innings, in defense, in overall ERA. And one thing about those championship teams that I am fascinated by, Mark, is they had a lot of starting pitchers pitch a lot of games.
Yes.
Like in 2010, they had six starters pitch all the games. In 2012, they had five guys pitch all but two games. So I look at this year's team, they've got five guys who've made all the starts.
Right. Although that's going to change tonight.
It is going to change.
Hayden Bergsong tonight.
Right.
Yep.
So that will be starter number six. But the one thing that this team has going for it that the championship teams did, good overall ERA, very good bullpen ERA, and a run total that is slightly above average.
It's workable. And I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I like to compare the Giants sometimes to the Padres because you're in the same division and everybody's chasing after the Dodgers. I think both teams have sort of tried to market each other the same way. These ballparks are really kind of fancy and everything. And I think Giants fans sometimes, and this is pretty rare, but they get jealous of the vibe at the Padres Stadium because it feels like they've got fancy, exciting offensive players. Tatis this year is hitting .304, and he's got 12 bombs. And you've got name value. You've got Machado. You've got the constant batting champ, Luis Arraez. You've got Xander Bogaerts. You've got other up-and-coming players, Cronenworth, Jackson Merrill. You've got all these guys. You know what else you have? 24 fewer runs than the Giants. So, I don't, like, if you look back on 10, 12, and 14, those lineups, they're not fancy. They're not fancy. That's not what usually gets it done in baseball. So, we've spent the better part of 5 years going, who do I want to buy a jersey for? Like, who is that person? Well, don't attach that to the big, fancy, loud athlete. I wouldn't say that. I would argue that that aspect has been fixed. I think that there are plenty of Giants now and where you might be jersey interested. Jung-Hoo Lee has become a complete ballpark dynamic. He's got multiple nicknames. There are chants. There are sections. There's all of that going on. But I want to nod out to Elliot Ramos and Matt Chapman and Willie Adames as guys who are going to be here for a while, and they are accomplished middle-of-the-order hitters in the major leagues. Could they use more? Sure. Of course they could. But I look at this all and I go, man, I could tell who's running this show. That looks like a Buster Posey team to me. They pitch well. They catch the ball well. They play professional baseball. And they score enough runs. And that's your ballpark. You're not going to try to be a team that scores eight runs a night because, quite frankly, if you do that, you'll fail. You'll fail in this ballpark.
Yeah.
And if that's where you're spending your money, you're spending it in the wrong place.
Well, you do have to have a versatile squad to where you go to Arizona, you go to Colorado, you've got to be able to go out there and produce runs. Because
I'm going to play this every time you talk.
I like it. Yeah. You only get 81 of these at home. So yeah. Right now, you're 14th in home runs. You've hit more home runs than San Diego. And you just named off all those boppers.
Think of that.
They've got 41 home runs. You've got 50. Now, this is not too deep a dive. I mean, you look at the column and you sort it by home runs and you figure it out.
Don't sell yourself short.
I'm trying not to. Yeah. But the big number here is, and bring it up, we're still in a row. The Giants are averaging 4.65 runs a game, which is 10th in baseball. So if you're a top 10 scoring offense, then you can get by. Their OPS is not great. They're 18th, and you're 14th in home runs. But the key thing that has to sustain for this Giants team is the bullpen. The number one in ERA.
Of course.
But the key, Mark, is they're 22nd in percentage of innings pitched by the bullpen. And that's where you need that number to be low, and you need the effectiveness to be high.
Listen. This is baseball, whether people like to hear it or not. You want the mic drop? Watch this.
You got another hour here on the show, so you can't drop.
So, number one, this is team stats. This is also not a deep dive. This is a shallow dive, but I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Who do you think leads the majors in batting average? Teams.
Batting average? Yeah. Probably the Dodgers.
Okay, Dodgers are number one. Who do you think leads the bigs in home runs?
Got to be the Dodgers.
It's the Dodgers.
Yep.
Runs batted in. Who do you think it is?
Well, it's probably the Dodgers.
It's not. It's the Cubs. But the Dodgers are second.
Okay.
Okay. What about hits? Just hits. Just action. Who do you think leads?
Well, I'm going to stay with the Dodgers.
It's the Dodgers. Yep. But guess what their bullpen ERA is?
Oh, boy. I didn't look earlier. It's probably in the fours.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. They are 17.
Yeah, four.
4.03. So how are the Giants only a game back? They're fancy, and they get all the hits, all the homers, all the runs, all the attention, all the money, all the deferrals, all the jerseys, all the Shohei's, all of it. You're a game up, and that's Buster Posey. That's how he was trained. That's what he watched. And his style has won way more World Series than their style in the last 15 years.
Well, and what you see when you start to do a deeper dive in the Dodgers is on the year, 217 innings from their starters, 207 from their bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
So your starters are generally better than your relievers, and their relief pitchers have pitched almost half of their innings, and their ERA is 17. The Giants have pitched the 22nd most innings by percentage, and they're number one. So you save your bullpen, and when they do pitch, they're really, really good.
Yep.
Or if you're the Dodgers, we need the pen, and they're not good.
And a bunch of people are hurt.
And that's why you have a one-game lead.
Yeah. I think...
You got a towel?
You've got to be... you've got to be thrilled.
Will the thrilled.
Right? With where the Giants sit right now. And because I think that the question people want to ask is this sustainable? And I think at least to a certain degree it is. There are questions. Those three guys I mentioned have to stay healthy. Don't know if they will. But if they do, I think it's a wild card team. And I also think they're only on like a certain spot on the staircase that they're currently climbing, right?
I'm just a little curious about the longevity of the starting pitching.
Well, but it's gonna transition. Yep. It's gonna evolve. It's starting tonight. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We got a lot of different places we want to go in the 5 o'clock hour, but for fun, 888-957-9570. I'd love to throw this out to Giants fans, because let's be real, the Warriors have been in the playoffs, and this opportunity has not really existed a whole lot in the last handful of weeks on 95.7 The Game. So what is your Giants take? And it can be anything, but if you've been saving that for Steph Curry to get hurt or whatever,
man,
what is it? Anything. Let's throw that out to you, and we would love to take your calls right now. 888-957-9570. What's your Giants take? Any direction you want to go. This is Willard and Dibbs.
And Dan Dibley here to talk about the life-changing Abundant Life weight loss summer sale. It's happening all month long through May 31st, which means you only have 11 more days to get this done. You can do it virtually or in person, and it's easy and accessible no matter where you are. These are the lowest prices of the year, and there might not be another sale this great, so don't miss out. Get ahead of your summer goals, get started, and lose that weight. The program works very quickly. I dropped 25 pounds in the first 6 or 7 weeks. It didn't require any working out or special foods or risky procedures. It's safe, it's sustainable, and this is your chance to get both an affordable program and one that works as well. It's only during the month of May. Just call now and get a free consultation. Tell them that you heard about it from Dibs. The number is 925-854-5140. Tell them you heard about it from Dibs. You can go to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com. Again, that's 925-854-5140.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.